This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Judge Jeanine Pirro.
She's the outspoken host.
Judge Jeanine Pirro is dominating the headlines right now.
This is the Judge Jeanine Tunnel to Towers Foundation Sunday Morning Show. Now, here's Judge Jeanine Pirro.
Welcome, everyone, to the Judge Jeanine Tunnel to Towers Foundation Show. I hope everybody's enjoying their day so far. It is a beautiful day here in New York City. And as always, we are armed and ready to serve justice with all my great listeners here on the Red Apple Audio Network. It has been a very interesting week this week in America. We had Super Tuesday this week. And obviously, Donald Trump crushed Nikki Haley again, and Nikki finally suspended her presidential campaign. However, she refused to endorse Trump and says it's up to him to win over her voters. We also had the State of the Union this week on Thursday night. And we now have 1,000 National Guard in the subways in New York City. So there's a lot to talk about today. And the issue, of course, before the State of the Union by Joe Biden was whether or not he'd make it down the aisle to be able to give this speech, and whether or not he'd mumble his way through. We're going to talk to two great guests. I've had Hogan Gidley today, formerly Deputy Press Secretary with former President Donald Trump, and Joe Concha, who is a political satirist in many cases. And we'll talk about those issues. But I also want to mention this week that there was a lot of talk about illegals and the crime that we're seeing. A state trooper killed by an illegal immigrant, Lake and Riley, obviously, and a lot of illegal immigrant crime that we're seeing across the country. And unfortunately, no one is keeping numbers of these. But if you're anywhere in the United States, you know that we've got a problem with the unvetted illegals who are coming through. We don't know who they are. Just this past week, we had a terrorist trying to come through El Paso, someone on the terrorist watch list. And, you know, we've got some real issues there. But most important today is the issue of Joe Biden, how he was supposed to reset his campaign. And the question is, did he during the State of the Union? Our great guest will answer that. And we'll talk about a couple of other things, like the fact that we've got individuals who are constantly talking about the fact that, you know, these families who are suffering at the hands of illegals, you know, that's kind of a joke when MSNBC anchors mocked Virginia voters for calling immigration their top issue, and they laugh about the concerns of the flood of migrants into the United States. Who am I talking about? Jen Psaki, Joy Reid, Rachel Maddow. They're all laughing at the fact that voters in Virginia care about immigration. And, you know, it always gets worse with Joy Reid saying Republicans are voting on this idea that there's an invasion of brown people, and that's why Republicans are upset. But the issue today is, did Joe Biden convince you? Did he convince the Democrats that he is ready to rumble in the 2024 election? We'll listen to our great guest today, and they will join us in just a few minutes. And never forget, that's a commitment we made on 9/11. Honor it by donating $11 a month to the Tunnel to Towers Foundation at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2T.org. And up next here on the Judge Jeanine Tunnel to Towers Foundation Show, I will be speaking with Hogan Gidley, former deputy press secretary to Donald Trump. He is really smart, folks, and he is amped up today to talk about that State of the Union right here on the Red Apple Audio Network.
It's the Judge Jeanine Show. This is the Jeanine Pirro Show. Now, here's Judge Jeanine Pirro.
Welcome back to the Judge Jeanine Tunnel to Towers Foundation Show. Joining us now is a former White House Deputy Press Secretary. You know him well. He's been on the show many times, and you've seen him during the Trump administration. Join me in welcoming Hogan Gidley to the Judge Jeanine Tunnel to Towers Foundation Show. Okay, Hogan. I was worried with this, with the president's State of the Union. I was worried that he wouldn't get through it. He was so amped up, charged up. He spoke so quickly. They said it was going to take an hour and a half. It took like 58 minutes. What was your take on it?
Well, you know, Democrats were kind of in a pickle there, right? Because if on one hand, if they didn't clap, it would look really bad. On the other hand, if they did clap a lot, that meant they had to stay up there longer, making those clear signs of mental and physical decline more obvious. So they were kind of stuck. Listen, you hit on a few things already. The demeanor of this speech was all wrong. It was angry. It was yelling. It was divisive, finger pointing. It didn't resonate or connect with people. There was no warmth. There are always a couple of lines in a speech like that that get both sides to kind of join in together and yep. clap and stand. There was none of that here. It was clearly partisan. It was clearly political. Mm-hmm. Also, the substance. The American people care about the border. They care about the economy. They care about crime. He started this speech with Ukraine, the State of the Union of the United States of America, and he started with Ukraine. He lamented that we're not giving them more money to secure their border and didn't even address our border until 41 minutes into the speech. He was yep. finally forced to say Lincoln Riley's name by someone who screams, "Say her name." He grabs a button, holds it up, and says, "Lincoln Riley," says the wrong name, and then doesn't admit or acknowledge the fact that it was his border policies of wide open borders that allowed her alleged killer into this country. He yeah. didn't. Crime is on the decline. At the very moment, Kathy Hochul is activating the National Guard to go protect the subways in New York. What is he talking about? It was so devoid of reality, too. It was completely antithetical to what the American people know, because it's what they feel every day. Not to mention the fact he also said, Joe Biden, that he never got intelligence that it would be a disaster if they pulled out the way he wanted to. And, of course, eventually that came out, that it was true that they absolutely did brief him on what would happen. And it happened exactly the way the military experts told him it would happen. Listen, that's the seminal moment in this presidential timeline that really began to see him sink in the polls. That's what really angered the American people. So, of course, he's not going to bring that up. Of course, he's not going to bring up the border. But that father is now being charged
yep.
with some type of, you know, violation of law. OK, he violated law. He faces up to 90 days in jail. And I'm thinking to myself, can you imagine, though, the emotional prison he has been in ever since his son was murdered at Abbey Gate because of Joe Biden's decisions? And that's what this all was, a contrast in the decisions that this president has made versus other presidents. He tried to make all the things he's done sound like they've improved our lives, whereas everything that's happening that's bad is somebody else's fault. No one in this country believes that. Listen, I've done a lot of these speeches with President Trump. Every single section is poured through with attorneys, is poured through with your policy experts, poured through with your comms teams. You want to make sure every word, every jot and tittle is right. And this is what they came up with to deliver to the American people. And you mentioned him being amped up. My gosh, Judge, talk about overcompensation, right? I mean, another thing that kind of fascinated me, too. I don't know if you – I mean, listen, I knew – I've known for years that Joe Biden was a 18-wheeler big rig driver.
Oh, yeah.
I knew that, you know, he started the civil rights movement. I knew that he was arrested for seeing Nelson Mandela in South Africa. Okay. What I didn't know was that he taught the Second Amendment for 12 years.
Yeah.
I mean, you learn something new every day.
You know, what was, I thought, kind of sideways in my mind was when he started talking about giving public school teachers a raise. I mean, if you want to talk about, you know, rank politics, if you want to talk about, you know, his bad policies, he talks about making sure, and I remember writing this down, the third and fourth, 3 and 4 year olds, we got to make sure that they have to go to preschool because he wants to make sure that every child reads by the third grade. Well, you know what, Mr. President? A couple of things. They're graduating from a high school they can't read. And that's your fault because during the pandemic, you sided with the teachers and there was no metric to get those kids back in school. And more Pell Grants? You're already forgiving loans. You want to give out more freebies? Public school teachers a raise. How much money did we give them in COVID? We don't even know where they spent it. I mean, that really irked me. And I got to tell you, it's like it was all politics. He went after the Supreme Court with Roe versus Wade. You're going to see the power, the electoral and political power women have. I mean, I kept getting offended and I kept saying, Janine, give him a chance. He's a president. You gotta take this seriously and you've got to recognize he's doing it for the country. No, he isn't. He's doing it for politics, rank politics.
Yeah. And also you hit on something there I think is really important. He said in a speech, he reduced the burden of student loan debt. No, he didn't. He shifted the burden of paying back college loans from people who voluntarily took those loans out to Americans who chose not to go to college. He's forcing everyone who didn't go to college to pay for those who did. He didn't reduce the debt. He just gave the bill to somebody else. And there's not a school proficient. I think it was in Baltimore they showed that had someone who could read or do math at grade level. And so his notion of giving teachers pay raises, sure, if you're doing a good job, is it merit-based? Of course not, because as you said, it's a handout to the teachers' union. This whole thing was just one big massive giveaway to pieces of the electorate that he thinks he needs to kowtow to, or he thinks he needs to pander to try and get their vote in November. I was really shocked at so much of the content of this speech, not to mention, as we've talked about, the delivery of it as well. I mean, my goodness gracious, he talked about how women were going to rise up against the Supreme Court, like he was threatening the Supreme Court. Okay, great. Tell me what a woman is. He didn't even know what that is. He can't even talk about that. He also talked about the rich paying their fair share for the 9 millionth time, although no one says, quote unquote, what it means to be rich. Second of all, sure, I bet everybody who you think doesn't pay their fair share will be happy to once Hunter Biden pays his fair share. I mean, this is so ridiculous. He talked about gun control, banning assault weapons, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, let's follow some. When Hunter Biden follows gun crimes, then maybe we'll do that too. I mean, everything he was trying to project onto somebody else, his own family was guilty of,
yep,
and he didn't mention it at all. I mean, it was just so tone deaf and so irrational. I just don't think it landed at all.
Well, you know, you got this sense that, you know, he was really basically saying half of the country is insurrectionist. They're sexist. Yeah. They're evil. I mean, we're going to hear about January 6th, Hogan, for the next 8 months. You know, they're going to make it a holiday, I think. And, you know, he had, you know, the amazing part of it. He had all this fencing put up. Did you see around the White House?
Of course, he
has the fencing put up and yet he can't get to the State of the Union on time because he's got all kinds of Hamas protesters who are blocking his way. I mean, he's like preventing and the wrong thing. He's so not focused on where he needs to be focused.
But the progressives, too, Judge, are angry at him because he didn't use the word abortion enough.
Oh.
They're angry at him because he didn't lock, stock and barrel say that there was a ceasefire now. It's all Israel's fault. Although he did quite frankly, pander a lot to that side. And now we're sending troops into off the coast of Gaza. And he emphatically says we're not putting boots on the ground. What do you think's going to happen when the Houthis or someone else attacks our people and ends up killing one of our American soldiers? What's he going to do then?
Well, I mean, but let me ask you.
Okay, is fraught with danger.
It is fraught with danger, but you know what? You ask the question, I have to answer it. What is he going to do then? What did he do when how many, were well over 100 have been injured in Syria and Iraq? He just ignored it while his defense secretary was in the hospital. No one was running the joint. Some of these people have traumatic brain injury, which is a lifelong injury. You know, when they're injured, when Americans get injured, he just like ignores it and just keeps on going. So now we're going to have a port for Hamas. And I agree with you. No boots on the ground until something happens over there. And he's got to show those progressives he's going to make sure that he protects Hamas. And he wants a two-state solution. We had a two-state solution. And look what happened.
Right. And October 7th happened in the middle of a ceasefire, by the way. I mean, a two-state solution with whom? You're trying to give Palestine, you're trying to give Gaza back over to the people who profess that killing Jews and Americans get you payments from the government. I mean, you're giving it back over to terrorist organizations. Look, foreign policy is difficult. Don't get me wrong. It is very layered. It is very nuanced. It is hard to figure out. However, the previous administration did a pretty damn good job keeping us out of wars and keeping the rest of the international community at bay and calm. So you can say what you want about Donald Trump. You can not like his personality, whatever. But the fact is, Russia, for the first time in decades, did not try to invade Ukraine.
Right.
North Korea stopped firing rockets over into South Korea. We had, six peace deals in the Middle East with the Abraham Accords and others, rallying the region around the common enemy that is Iran, and it being the world's largest state sponsor of terror. Those things are just factually accurate. And the American people feel not just what happens here at home, but what happens internationally. And they know one of these people running for president right now, Joe Biden, has made their lives worse, have prevented a future that has any semblance of success. Whereas Donald Trump gave them all of those things they wanted. There is a reason Hispanics are going overwhelmingly to Trump. There's a reason women are now split evenly between Trump and Biden. It's because they understand those policies made their lives better. And what they face now are problems, challenges here at home. They see the crime. They see the southern border. They see the strain on our healthcare system, on our education system, on our first responders, our tax dollars going to pay for people who are here illegally, not taking care of our own poor people, our own veterans, instead giving out thousands and thousands of dollars in gift cards to people who violated our laws, bringing in criminals into this country. And if someone on the left tells me one more time, well, Americans commit crimes at a higher rate than illegals. Right. Well, we got our own crazies. Why in the world would you want to import more of them, for heaven's sake?
Right.
So this whole thing is clear.
Yeah. Hogan, stay with us. We're going to a break, but I have a few more questions when we come back.
It's the Judge Jeanine Show. This is the Jeanine Pirro Show. Now, here's Judge Jeanine Pirro.
I'm back with my guest, Hogan Gidley. Hogan, thanks for staying with us. What is wrong with the unions?
Not to mention the fact his policies, Joe Biden's policies, have been clearly shown to reduce the workforce in our auto industry by 40%. Can you imagine another industry where the leaders of your industry say, we're going to support somebody whose policies would kill 40% of your jobs? There's a reason in 2016 the rank and file members of these unions really did go to support Donald Trump, whereas the leadership had to do what they had to do because they know where they get their money from, and that's the Democrat Party. So they had to, of course, go out there and champion Joe Biden, champion Hillary Clinton. But there's a sea change happening here, and a lot of people point to Michigan as one of those places with those 100,000 kind of no confidence votes in Joe Biden. A lot of them point to Dearborn and the Muslim community.
Yep.
That's true. But a lot of those voters who did that are protesting from the auto industry. They're the regular American worker out there who've been kicked in the teeth by Democrat policies for far too long. It happens all the time, and Donald Trump was one of the first people to ever address it in the way that he did, bringing manufacturing jobs back, working to have policies to drill, to allow expansion in the auto industry. This is not what Joe Biden wants to do. The idea that electric vehicles can run this country, that somehow the most powerful nation on the planet can get all of its power from Skittles and gumdrops and unicorn hair is insane. It does not work. I rented a Tesla recently. It was the only choice I had. I went 56 miles one way, 56 miles back, and the thing went from 100% charge to 30. I didn't play the radio. I didn't do anything. I'm telling you, we are years and years away from this ever being close to a reality. And they make it sound like it's just around the corner. If those Republicans would just respect the sun, and it doesn't make any sense at all. No science backs this up whatsoever. So for the party that says they believe in science, they sure don't. It is very frustrating. The American people see it. And I'm telling you, this election, when Joe Biden in 2020 went out there and told he wouldn't frack anymore, he wouldn't drill anymore and all that, I just don't think the people believed him. Now they understand what he's trying to do and how he's trying to erode not just our economic base with auto and energy being net exporters of energy. Now we're kind of importing it and relying on other countries. But what he's doing to the American worker with these policies is a real problem for him.
Yeah, Hogan Gidley, you got that right. And, you know, I think that it's the American worker who's hurting. It is the children, our children in the education system. And, you know, for all the talk of the environment, it is the electric car, which is more harm to the environment than anything else, given the fact that, you know, if you get if once that battery goes dead, it's the size of the chassis of the car itself. There's nowhere to get rid of it. It's an environmental damage, and insurance companies won't even insure these batteries. That's how bad they are. And in the end, I mean, we spent $7 billion, I think, to set up this national battery charging system. And there isn't one battery charging system that's up and working. And then you have people like Senator Elizabeth Warren who are out there saying, oh, it's great. And then she's doing some kind of a press conference and she forces herself in line in front of other people waiting to charge their car to show the American people how easy it is to charge their car. All right. Hogan Gidley, it was a pleasure talking to you this Sunday morning. You are smart as hell and funny today. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks,
and
Judge.
Never forget, that's a commitment we made on 9/11. Honor it by donating $11 a month to the Tunnel to Towers Foundation at t2t.org. That's t2t.org. Up next here on the Judge Jeanine Tunnel to Towers Foundation show, I will be talking with Joe Concha. Stay with us.
It's the Judge Jeanine Show. This is the Jeanine Pirro Show. Now, here's Judge Jeanine Pirro.
Up next here on the Judge Jeanine Tunnel to Towers Foundation Show, I will be speaking with Joe Concha, coming up right here on the Red Apple Audio Network. Welcome back to the Judge Jeanine Tunnel to Towers Foundation Show. Joining me now is a radio and television personality. He is an author and columnist. Please join me in welcoming Joe Concha to the Judge Jeanine Tunnel to Towers Foundation Show. Folks, you know Joe. He's been on the show before. You've seen him on Fox News with me. And I can't wait to hear him this Sunday morning talking about Joe Biden's State of the Union. You heard from Hogan Gidley. We had a few laughs, but I'd like to get serious now with Joe Concha. Joe, why don't you just give me your reaction to President Joe Biden's State of the Union address last Thursday night?
Let me do my best CNN/MSNBC pundit imitation. The president, Joe Biden, just gave the speech of his life tonight. If I got to hear that one more time.
Well, you know, the amazing part of it is he came in loaded for bear. What do you think that was about?
I think that when you take a 4-day weekend in Camp David the week before, He had one event on his schedule over the last week. He hasn't visited a swing state, and we are in a campaign year, last I checked, since February 1st. He's had time to rest up for this one, right? And here's the thing about State of the Unions. They're almost entirely scripted. So Joe Biden's only job was to read a speech that he's been reviewing for the last week in a teleprompter for about an hour, and that was the bar. The bar was, will he trip on his way up to the podium? No. Will he give the speech and yell a lot and show that he has some sort of vigor or passion? Yes. Yay. Mission accomplished. Now, all that said, when you look at the content of that speech, you tell me, Judge, what's going to be different from Joe Biden's first 3 years and then this year and then 4 years more if he's reelected? I didn't hear anything about what he wants to do for the future. I heard about how great the economy is. Like, we're the envy of the world, he said. We have the lowest inflation in the world. No, we don't. And no, we aren't. So I could go on and on as far as all the things that he took credit for. And then anything that's bad, that's either Trump or the Republicans. Bottom line is, he could have announced last night executive orders, resume wall construction, resume remain in Mexico, eviscerate catch and release. It didn't happen. I judge people on their actions, not their words. A lot of words last night. No action.
Judge. Well, you know, the interesting thing that about this speech is that it was not really a speech about the State of the Union. Instead, it was a campaign speech. Yo. It was a speech that was divisive. It was not unifying. I was watching it, and, you know, we all look to, is it going to make it down down that little path to the podium?
Yeah.
The interesting thing is, he didn't even give Mike Johnson the ability to introduce him. He was so amped up, he went right in there and he started yelling. I can't help but think they said to him, look, you've got to show that you're strong. You've got to show that you can do it. But he could have yelled about things that would unify us. He could have yelled about things that would bring us together to make us proud to be Americans. But instead, he starts with Ukraine, and he starts with the Supreme Court, and he goes after his opponent in like the first 3 minutes. You know, he was an angry old man, and that bothered me. And I, you know what, Joe Concha, I wanted to support him in the sense that he is my president. He is the commander in chief. But you couldn't do it. It was too volatile.
You felt like you were at the Democratic National Convention, right? In Chicago, a couple months from now, because that's what that speech was. And the thing is, he's trailing in the following states, which decide presidential elections: North Carolina, Georgia, Arizona, Nevada, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania. In those states, he needs blue collar Democrats. He needs independents. He needs suburban moms. He needs blacks and Hispanics. You tell me what he said on Thursday night that would lead you to believe that he is in touch with the problems of the American people. So you're right. Angry old man does not work. And I don't like it with Trump either. I like it when Trump is the happy warrior, when he's apprentice Trump to a certain extent, less is more. With Joe Biden, he reads everything in a prompter and people think, oh, see, he's perfectly fine. The minute he got out of teleprompter, even for 1 minute last night, was when Marjorie Taylor Greene basically shamed him into saying Laken Riley's name. And then Biden picks up a pin from Greene and says, yeah, Lincoln Riley was killed by an illegal, which then sets off the far left saying, you can't call them illegals. They're undocumented. So that's the thing. Show me a 70-minute press conference with actual journalists. Show me a debate with Donald Trump for 90 minutes where you don't have your teleprompter and you don't have your cheering section, and let's see what happens. I have a feeling it'll be a 180 from what we saw on Thursday night.
What do you think of the idea of this port in Hamas? What's going to happen there, Joe?
I see shades of, and I was young, but I've read a lot about it, of Lebanon, right? I see our troops there as sitting ducks in Gaza. They're going to be building a port while you have Iranian proxies using drones. They've already killed three of our service people over there. While, by the way, the Secretary of Defense didn't know how to call in sick when he was going in for surgery. That's when that happened. So I don't think anybody likes this one bit. And if one soldier gets killed, it's Afghanistan all over again. And the president will have himself to blame because he's not doing this for humanitarian reasons. He's doing this for Michigan. He's doing this for the Arab Muslim vote in key swing states to show that, oh, see, I'm not really, really pro-Israel. I'm kind of on your side. He's trying to have it both ways. And if this gets anybody killed, then this is like stuff that's impeachable. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, you know, speaking of impeachable, there was a man there. He was a Gold Star father whose son was killed at the Abbey Gate. And, you know, I had said a couple of days before the State of the Union, one thing we're not going to hear about is the Abbey Gate, the mess in Afghanistan, an open air airport that we were exiting from, where 13 servicemen were killed because, you know, they couldn't get together on the rules of engagement. They couldn't get permission. And 13 young soldiers died as a result of it. And that father was in the audience. He was taken out and he's charged with some kind of a violation or a crime for the disruption. And it's very sad. You know, these people have never been spoken to by the president. None of the Gold Star parents have been spoken to by Joe Biden, the ones who were killed at the Abbey Gate. And that's a shame. You know, there was a Gold Star mom who was on CNN who said that Biden has never reached out to her after her Marine child's death. And, you know, the Gold Star father arrested for heckling Biden during the State of the Union. I mean, these are people who are in pain. And you know what? You could almost forgive policy mistakes, but you can't forgive a president who doesn't call a parent of someone killed representing this country in a foreign land. You can't forgive them.
No, you can't. Because it's effort, right? It's just a simple matter of showing that you care because he's supposed to be the consoler in chief. We keep hearing that from the media over and over again. And then reaching out, and it doesn't take long. And what really pisses me off, I'm sorry, is when he does speak to these families, and he did it again last night. Remember when he broached Lincoln Riley, who he called Lincoln Riley, and then right. he said, you know, I send my condolences to the parents. Couldn't pick up a phone before that, of course. Had to do it only when he was shamed into it. And then after saying that, he says, and he does this all the time, I am a parent who has lost children as well. I can relate. Oh, you lost your child to a terrorist who was in this country illegally, who bludgeoned your kid to death? No. And he keeps saying that Bo Biden died in Iraq. He didn't. He died years later, and it was of cancer. He keeps doing this. And if Trump ever did anything like this, I mean, the apocalypse would be upon us as far as the media is concerned. But, of course, Biden gets a pass because, well, it's just Joe being Joe.
Yep. I got to tell you, it really is fascinating. Did you hear Katie Britt, the senator, and her response?
I thought she was elegant. You know, I think she was a little unpolished, or I try to be totally honest and objective in situations. But overall, I think it was such a contrast to see a 42-year-old up there giving the response to basically somebody who's twice her age, and she didn't have to yell to make her points. To make it sound like she's care or that she's passionate. It was just meticulous ABC. I thought it was a fine choice.
Yeah. And, you know, as a first term senator, you know, she called him a dithering, diminished leader. And, you know, I thought that she had the points down. And I agree. I mean, looking at her youth, her ability to talk about, you know, the issues, whereas Joe Biden's up there screaming. And, you know, you see Kamala Harris up there and I'm looking at her, Joe Concha, and I'm saying to myself, you know, this woman, if he is reelected, will be the president. I mean, you know, I hope he lives a long life, but, you know, if something were to happen and, you know, she's just up there grinning and standing up. And I say to myself, what has she done? Joe congratulated her for her work on abortion, but that was only after, you know, he kind of trashed the Supreme Court justices sitting in front of him. And that's the reason, by the way, that Alito doesn't go to the Supreme Court to the State of the Union address. They have to sit there and be trashed by Obama or Biden.
They shouldn't go. They also boycott, at least the conservatives, because that's what's going to happen. They're going to be a target. So screw you. We're going to be apolitical. We're supposed to be apolitical, so we're not going to go to a political event. As for Kamala Harris, Judge, if she ran a funeral parlor, nobody would die. All right. This is the most inept person we have in government. I'm sorry.
I got to tell you, and the shame of it is she has such opportunities. She has such opportunities to do good things and to, you know, that podium that ability to get up there and prove to the American people. And the stage that she's on is so big, and she just kind of giggles her way through it. And it really is sad. And think about it, Joe Concha. If she were a Republican, I mean, forget it. They would have destroyed her. They would have absolutely destroyed her. But they're like, oh, yeah, she's great. She'll be great. She should run. But in the end, do you think that Joe Biden is going to be the candidate, Joe Concha?
I think I was 50-50 on the fence, Judge, and now I'm more in the 80-20 camp that he will be.
Yeah.
Because now I think some Democrats that would have tried to take him out now saw that speech last night. And again, it's a mirage because it's just reading a prompter. That's all it is. Wait till he's at the next time he's at anything resembling a press conference or when he has to speak outside of a teleprompter. It's night and day.
In any event, Joe Concha, I want to thank you for joining us. I always enjoy having you on the show, and we look forward to hearing from you again. Thanks for joining us. Up next here on the Judge Jeanine Tunnel to Towers Foundation show, I will gavel out with my closing argument. It's all coming up here on the Red Apple Audio Network. Okay, now it's time for me to gavel out with my closing argument. So we had, I think, the biggest news this week, which was the State of the Union address by President Joe Biden. And I must tell you, and I mentioned this during the show, throughout my whole career, I've been fascinated with politics. I've been in politics for many years, and I ran for office 5 times, in fact. But I always look forward to the State of the Union. And honestly, it really didn't matter whether the president was a Democrat or a Republican. I wanted to hear about America. I wanted to be proud. I wanted to get that blood going in my veins about how proud I was of this country, how proud I am of, you know, my ancestors coming into this country and making a home for us, giving me the opportunity to be the first in my family to go to college and obviously law school. I love this country. I love the political system. But this State of the Union was all about anger and divisiveness. And, you know, people have gone into their corners since Joe Biden came into office. Joe Biden has deplored half of America. He has been divisive. He came in talking about unity. And this State of the Union, which was supposed to be about the state of our union, was a political campaign speech. He was angry. He's worried more about Ukraine than our own southern border. He took down the Supreme Court justices a notch sitting right in front of him. He talked about abortion. He talked about issues that were not everyday issues to the American people. Talked about putting a port in Gaza. He talked about a two-state solution. A two-state solution, we had that. And there was a ceasefire. And that was October 7th. When well over 1,000 Israelis were brutally massacred and killed. But he wants that two-state solution back, and he wants Americans to build a port in Hamas, in Gaza, to save those people in Gaza and to make sure that they get their supplies. The truth is, he's pandering. He's pandering to the Michigan voters. He's pandering to the Arabs into the Detroit area and the leftist progressives. But you decide what you think about that State of the Union. I know what I think. You've heard from my guests, and now it's up to you. But what I do know is that as a result of that State of the Union, I don't think there's any question that Joe Biden is going to be on that ballot. This is a repeat of 2020. Joe Biden, Donald Trump. And I mapped up for the race myself. I can't believe we're out of time, but make sure you join us right back here next week. Same time, same place for the Judge Jeanine Tunnel to Towers Foundation show. Have a great day, everybody. God bless.
It's the Judge Jeanine Show.